Good evening and welcome. Time to begin our Bible study tonight. We're in the book of Ezra. If you would get your Bibles, open with me to the book of Ezra. We'll be giving an overview of that book. Last week we talked about 2 Chronicles. At the end of the book of 2 Chronicles, we learned Judah was carried away into Babylonian captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, came. Remember, verse 17, slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon the young men or maiden, old men or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, took all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, brought them to Babylon, burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burn all the palaces thereof with fire, destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. We've learned that that didn't occur all at once. It was more of a process. Three different groups at three different times. First in 606 BC, another around 597, another around 586. It's the last one that we read about in 2 Chronicles 36. Judah carried away into Babylonian captivity. They would stay there and serve King Nebuchadnezzar and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia in verse 20. And in verse 21, this was to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. We see that expressed again in verse 22 and in Ezra chapter 1 and in verse 1. On the first year, Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. All of these events were prophesied before they occurred by Jeremiah. Outside of this, you might write down just at least a couple of places, like Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 25, we see Jeremiah's prophecy concerning all the people of Judah. This was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, during the divided kingdom. And he says, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah, to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. But ye have not hearkened. The Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early, sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. We read that in 2 of chapter 36. They mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Their message was, turn again, now every one from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you. Go not after other gods to serve them, to worship them. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands. I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord. Sad words. They provoked him to anger. And here's the result, verse 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Their destruction prophesied. Verse 11. This whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And these nations, notice, shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, will make it a perpetual desolation, will bring upon that land all my words which I pronounce against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. So we see all of these events occurring now as prophesied by Jeremiah here in 2 Chronicles 36 and Ezra chapter 1. Israel, Judah, carried away into Babylonian captivity till the kingdom of Persia. The duration of that period of captivity prophesied by Jeremiah, we just read, 70 years. Then Babylon would be destroyed. That was prophesied. The end of Babylon is prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 13 as well. And we see that taking place as verse 22, now in the first year Cyrus, king of Persia, the Babylonian Empire was conquered by the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, 539 BC. Of course, that was conquered by the Grecian Empire. Then that was conquered by the Roman Empire. So all of these events that prophesied are occurring now as we're reading them. Carried away into captivity, period of exile, 70 years, end of Babylon, Persian Empire, the first year of Cyrus. And that's where we're at this point in history. Ezra brings us to the period of return and restoration, covered in Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. This period of history is followed, takes us to the end of the Old Testament, and is followed by the 400 years between the Old and New Testaments. There were three returns from Babylon, two of which we'll read about here in Ezra. The first, chapters 1 to 6, under Zerubbabel. The second, chapters 7 through 10, under Ezra. The third, under Nehemiah, we'll read about in the book of Nehemiah. When you think of Ezra, think of restoration, a return and restoration. Keynote is restoration as Judah, the people of God, will come out of their captivity, return to Jerusalem, the land of Canaan, and seek to restore what has been lost, with emphasis placed upon rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the house of the Lord. And the book is named after its principal character, Ezra. We begin in Ezra chapter 1 with Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Did you know this individual, Cyrus, his work, this time in history, all prophesied about years before this occurred? You might jot out beside Isaiah, or Ezra rather, 1 verse 1, Isaiah 44, and in verse 28 specifically. Isaiah is speaking, thus saith the Lord, verse 24. And the Lord, through Isaiah, says of Cyrus, in verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. What is that? Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and while I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. About 100 years before Cyrus even existed, he was called by name, his work prophesied. And now in Ezra chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of that as Cyrus begins to do all the pleasure of God. So already, through the work of these prophets, from the book of Ezra, we learn from the events taking place that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That, as Peter penned in 2 Peter 1, we have a more sure word of prophecy. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. That the Lord is able to declare the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and in verse 10. How could these men have known these events prior to their fulfillment, their existence, of these individuals like Cyrus? How could Jeremiah have known the duration of the captivity in Babylon, 70 years? Why not 90 years? The only explanation is holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The book is of God. It's divine, not of men. Important lesson from the book of Ezra, these events and these individuals. Through my study of the book, several things were brought to my attention. Often it's emphasized and repeated offerings, free will, willing offerings, like Ezra 1, and in verse 4, whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods and with beasts, beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Verse 6 mentioned beside all that was willingly offered. In chapter 2, verses 68 and 69, some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability. They gave as much as their ability would allow. They gave as much as they could unto the treasure of the work for the house of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 2, burnt offerings were offered. They offered burnt offerings morning and evening. Verse 5, offered the continual burnt offering, and mentions everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. And several other verses could be mentioned. Freewill offerings often repeated. The phrase, "it is written," is often found in Ezra, especially in chapter 3, like in verse 2, they offered burnt offerings upon the altar they builded, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. In verse 4, they kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, as it is written. Chapter 6, in verse 18, they set the priests and their divisions, the Levites and their courses, for the service of God, as it is written in the book of Moses. Other appeals often made to the Lord's law. Chapter 3, in verse 4, according to the custom. Verse 10, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Chapter 7, verse 14, according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand. Verse 23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. Verse 26, whosoever will not do the law of thy God, let judgment be executed speedily upon him. Other places as well. The law of the Lord is appealed to. Another phrase that caught my attention was the good hand of God, or the hand of God, like in chapter 7. And in verse 6, Ezra went up from Babylon. This was according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And in verse 9, they came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. In verse 28, he says, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. In chapter 8, verse 31, the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And really summarized in Ezra 8, verse 22. When Ezra had proclaimed a fast, they sought God. And he says in verse 22, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. They sought the Lord, and you learn, as repeated, the hand of God was upon them for good. And he says, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. The question is the hand of God upon you, upon me for good. Do we seek him? Or is his power and his wrath against us if we forsake him? Which one are we? We have revealed in the book those that frustrated and hindered the work of the Lord. Ezra chapter 4, you have the adversaries who frustrated their purpose, hindered the work. In chapter 8, verse 36, it mentions those that furthered the people in the house of God. Which one am I? Am I a hinderer or am I a furtherer of the Lord's people and of his work? Sadly, there are members of the church who hinder more than they do further. Which one am I? Often appeals made to seeking the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 21, 7, verse 10, 8, verse 21. Seek the Lord and assembling caught my attention. As the Lord's people gathered themselves together, like in chapter 3, verse 1, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Chapter 10, verse 9, all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. Would you have been among them? Would you have gathered with the people of God when they gathered themselves together? Some things stood out to me throughout the book of Ezra. We have an outline of the book mentioned. First, the return from Babylon to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel, the first one, and the rebuilding of the temple. Then the second return under Ezra. Named after its principal character, Ezra. What did you learn about Ezra? the man.
First, he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, chapter 7, verse 6.
Good. He was a ready scribe. That means he's quick, prompt, skilled, a skilled scribe. A scribe was a writer, a transcriber of the law, an instructor in the law. And really, a ready scribe is defined in 7, verse 10. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Each one of us would do well to do the exact same thing. Such a person is hard to find. We need to be like him. Anything else? He was a priest, came from the tribe of Judah. He was a descendant of Judah, 1 Chronicles 4. Came from the line of Aaron, the chief priest, 7, 1 through 5. He was a priest. Chapter 7, 11 and 12 says, Ezra the priest. He was a priest. Yes, descendant of Aaron through Eleazar, chapter 7, verse 5. Notice what was in Ezra's hands. Did you notice that? The hands of Ezra. Chapter 7 and in verse 14. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand. In verse 25 of chapter 7. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand. In the hands of Ezra was the law of God, the wisdom of God. What's in our hands? Is it the law of God, the wisdom of God, or something else? That impressed me. What was in the hands of Ezra? He sought the Lord, 8:21 to 23. He knew that the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man that walketh to direct his steps, Jeremiah 10:23. He sought the Lord, inquired of the Lord. He was a good leader. Good example, Ezra. We have the first return, Ezra 1 through 6, first six chapters. And it begins with the decree of Cyrus, king of Persia. He's doing all the pleasure of God, as was prophesied of him. And says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Finally, the Lord's people will be allowed to return from Babylon to Jerusalem. Emphasis placed upon the charge to build God and house at Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the house of the Lord. And followed by preparation for that first return, free will offerings were made. All they that were about them in verse 6 strengthened their hands. Would you have strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, precious things, beside all that was willingly offered? Cyrus the king brought all that. Vessels of the house of the Lord. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had taken those out of the house of the Lord to Babylon. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 18. He's taken them back and returning them to Jerusalem. Then in chapter 2, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. Verse 64. The whole congregation together was 42,360. That was beside their servants and maids, of whom there were 7,337. There were among them 200 singing men and singing women. There were 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, 6,720 asses. And they come to Jerusalem. When they do that, they come to the house of the Lord. Some of the chief of the fathers, as we read, offered freely. They gave after their ability. And chapter 3, they're in Jerusalem. The people gathered themselves together as one man. They builded the altar of God of Israel. They set the altar upon his bases and offered burnt offerings thereon as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. They offered burnt offerings morning and evening, kept the feast of the tabernacles as it is written, offered daily burnt offerings, offered continual burnt offering, both of the new moons, all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, the of everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. And it says in verse 6, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. In chapter 3, we have the foundation of the temple laid. As in verse 8, in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, it's been 2 years and 2 months since they came to Jerusalem, they began to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. In verse 10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, it's been laid. What was their response? Good. They began. They sang praises, gave thanks to God. There was weeping and there was shouting aloud for joy. They set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, with cymbals to praise the Lord. They sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. All the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Verse 12, many of the priests and Levites, chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, they had seen the first one. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. The people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. What a noise, heard afar off. The return of the Lord's people to Jerusalem, foundation of the Lord's house laid. Then, chapter 4, adversaries come of Judah and Benjamin. What did they do? They did. They heard that the children of the captivity were building the temple. They came to Zerubbabel, to the chief of the fathers. They said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, the chief of the fathers, knew better. They said, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. The people of the land weakened the hands of the people, troubled them in building, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. There's always people, adversaries, who do such against the Lord, his people, and his work. They wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Artaxerxes, and begins in verse 12. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt damage the revenue of the kings. Basically sums up the message that they sent to the king, as in verse 22, take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the herd of the kings? These people have come, they're building the rebellious in the bad city. They're going to bring damage to the herd of the kings. So he gave commandment to cause these men to cease, and they made them to cease by force and power, and the work of the house of God at Jerusalem ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. But that work is resumed in chapter 5. Who's mentioned in verse 1? The two prophets, Haggai, Zechariah. Remember that those two individuals, their work and their books, Haggai and Zechariah, occur in this period of time. We'll learn more about that when we get to those books. They prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, and the prophets of God were helping them as they built the house. 5 verse 2. In chapter 6, verse 14, they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. So they were a great help. And so they would continue the work on the house of the Lord, and Tatnai, and Jethar, Bosnai, and their companions. There's always those companions who follow those leaders. Would you have been helper or hindrance? Who hath commanded you to build this house, to make up this wall? And they send a copy of the letter, to the king and to Darius and tells them these people are working, their work is prospering. And he asked them, who commanded you to build this house? They asked the names of the people. And in verse 11, beginning, you have a good summary of the answer of the Lord's people and a summary of their history. They're the servants of God of heaven and earth. Can you say that? We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. We build the house that was built these many years ago, which the great king of Israel builded and set up, that being Solomon. After that, our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house, carried the people away into Babylon. In the first year, Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus, made a decree to build this house of God. And goes on. And you have Darius's response and decree in chapter 6. He made a decree, search was made in the house of the rolls, found written, Cyrus, and Cyrus's decree, which we just read about in chapter 1. And Darius says, be far from thence, verse 6, let the work of this house of God alone, let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. And he tells them what is to be done to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house in verse 8. Of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. Once again, we see the generosity and the mercy of these kings to the people of God. That which they have need of, verse 9, bullocks, rams, lambs for burnt offerings, wheat, salt, wine, oil, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices. Also, I made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house being set up, and let him be hanged thereon. Let his house be made dunghill for this. And he said, let this be done with speed. It was speedily done. Verses 12 and 13. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, Zechariah. And they builded and finished it. They finished the work on the house of the Lord, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The house was finished on the third day of the month, Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. This is about 4 years after the work had ceased. The foundation had been laid in chapter 4, verse 24. That was in the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now it's finished in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. About 4 years later, they kept the dedication of the house of God with joy, offered offerings, set the priests in their divisions, Levites in their courses for the service of God, as it is written. As it is written, they kept the Passover. Priests and Levites were purified, killed the Passover. The children of Israel separated themselves from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel. They kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with joy for the Lord, and made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So that's the first return. Then in chapter 7, we have the second return under Ezra. Ezra, we see, went up from Babylon, verse 6 of chapter 7. And Ezra went up from Babylon. And verse 7, there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. Some that went up with Ezra to Babylon. This return was about 4 months in duration, as he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, verse 8. Verse 9, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. So about 4 months. He came to Jerusalem the fifth month. Began the first month, came in the fifth month. And he returned, and his return was according to the good hand of his God upon him. You know why? Verse 10, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. We need to be like Ezra. You have the decree of the king, Artaxerxes, Verse 13, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Ezra has been granted by the king all his requests. Verse 6, and he makes a decree that any of the people of Israel who are minded to go with him, go. Go back to Jerusalem. Go up with Ezra. And anything stand out to you from chapter 7 and the decree of this king? Good. Good attitude often expressed by the king. According to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, verse 14, gave charge concerning the silver and gold, beginning in verse 15. And he says in verse 18, whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver or the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels gives charge concerning verse 19. You see his generosity in verse 20. Whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. I have highlighted verse 23. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. Excellent statement. Excellent attitude. We need to say and do the same today. Ezra, after the wisdom of God that is in thine heart, verse 25, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God. Those are the judges and magistrates we need, those that know the laws of God. And what do you do with those who don't know the laws of God? Teach ye them. Verse 26, whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or banishment, to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. You certainly see the mercy extended by the king, as mentioned in verse 28. And Ezra says, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. And then you have the genealogy of them that went up with Ezra from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. He proclaims a fast in verse 21 that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Separated 12 of the chief of the priests, verse 24, weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God. Verse 35, they offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel. They've come to Jerusalem. They delivered the king's commissions to the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Then chapters 9 and 10, you have Israel's sin being dealt with. What was their sin? Marriages. Verse 9, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. First of all, they haven't separated themselves from the people of the lands. They're doing according to their abominations. They weren't to do that. And they have taken of their daughters for themselves, for their sons, that the Holy Seed has mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Verse 2. Chapter 10, verse 2. We have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. That was their sin. In Ezra's prayer, you see the law repeated. Verse 12, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever. They weren't to give their daughters to the sons or daughters unto your sons. Intermarry, those commands given, Exodus 34, 16, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And they also were not to seek peace, their peace or their wealth forever. That's commanded in Deuteronomy 23. And in verse 6, they transgressed those. They did what God said not to do, what he had forbidden. And Ezra's response to it, great example. What was it? You heard this thing and He rent. He said, I rent my garment, my mantle, plucked off the hair of my beard and of my head and my beard, and sat down astonished. Expression of his astonishment and of his heaviness. He was heavy. Verse 5. Of his shame, he was ashamed and blushed. Verse 6. He wept. Chapter 10, verse 1. Weeping. He mourned. Chapter 10, verse 6. Good example. A good attitude towards sin. We have Ezra's prayer to God. Verse 5, he fell upon his knees. I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings, and our priests been delivered unto the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, to confusion of face, as it is this day. Now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Good review of what we just read and learned. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants of the prophets, saying, the land into which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. The command given, not to intermarry, not to seek peace or their wealth, that ye may be strong, that ye may eat of the good of the land, and leave it for inheritance to your children forever. For after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespassing, thou that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, shall we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. What a great prayer. The prayer of Ezra, after he had heard of Israel's transgression, sin, trespass. Under the New Testament law and pattern, when the people of God sin, they're to repent of their sin, pray to God for forgiveness, Acts chapter 8, that's what Simon was told, who had believed and been baptized. He was saved, Mark 16, 16, but he was in danger of perishing. Repent and pray and confess. 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 9. And the Old Testament was written for our learning, and through these examples, we learn, and it helps us better understand what that means and how to better fulfill those commands and those responsibilities. And I'd suggest that Ezra 9 and 10 reveals an excellent example of praying for forgiveness, confession of sin, and repentance of sin. And we do well to follow their example and do the same when a child of God sins today. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? If you sinned as a Christian, or sin period, rehearsed in your prayer what the law of God is, thou hast commanded, the land's unclean. Thou hast commanded, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons. Thou hast commanded, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever. Rehearsed the command given by God, and then confessed, after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, shall we again break thy commandments, join in affinity? Confess the sin. For example, pray, thou hast commanded, assemble with the saints. Thou shalt not forsake the assembling. Right? I have forsaken the assembling. I have sinned. Good example. Prayer and confession. Then a good example of repentance. Good attitudes expressed in chapter 10. The people wept very sore. They had the right attitude towards their sin. They wept very sore. And you see, again, their confession in verse 2, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. It's a sad thing that there are some who sin, yet they never weep over it, and they never say, we have trespassed against our God. We need to do as these people did, the people of God. They wept very sore, and they said, we have trespassed against our God. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God. And they're determined to repent. Put away all the wives, such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. These are people who trembled at the commandment of our God. Do you? We need to be like them. Good encouragement given. Be of good courage and do it. Didn't try to stop the people from repenting. He told them to do it. Be of good courage and do it. We will be with thee. Ezra arose, made the chief of the priests, chief priests, the Levites, all the Israel, to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. And Ezra's good attitude, he mourned because of the transgression. How do you feel of when transgression has been made, other sin? How does that make you feel? We need to be like Ezra. They made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the children of the captivity. They should gather themselves together into Jerusalem. Whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the council, the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. And verse 9, all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together into Jerusalem within 3 days. Would you have been among them? Would you have been among them trembling because of this matter? What a matter. Matter of separating from wives, separating from children. Come, gather with the people of God that we may set this right, attend to this matter. Would you have been among that congregation? Would you have, or would you have been angry, been rebellious? We need more people like Ezra, verses 10 and 11. Ezra the priest stood up, said unto them, you have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. We need more Ezras. Unfortunately, anyone like Ezra today, often people are critical of, and they get angry at the messenger and don't want to have anything to do with him, and so on and so forth. But we need more Ezras today. We need more people who want Ezras today. And we need more people who have this attitude. And in verse 12, so must we do. All the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Even though it meant separating from their wives and their children, so must we do. Would you have said that? And in verse 19, they gave their hands that they would put away their wives. Being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass, according to the Old Testament law. Verse 40, for all these, a list of all that had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. What an example. What an example. Good example of how to deal with sin and prayer, confession, and repentance. Anything else you want to bring out about Ezra 9 and 10 or the book of Ezra as a whole before we conclude? Dad, go ahead.
You mentioned at the outset that the key number of the theme is restoration. And this really shows that restoration involved much, much more than just the restoration of the temple and the sacrifices. To think of the restoration of the temple as it was rebuilt and altar built. Sacrifices offered. But really, all of that would have availed absolutely nothing if there wasn't this reformation of people. There was a rededication of people. The people had to be rebuilt. And so, restoration included the restoration of the people.
Very good point. Yeah. Anything else?
Try to put yourself in their place. Coming out of this captivity would be difficult for us to do, I think. Having been in captivity so long, and how everything changed with these people, and how so many, no doubt so many died during the captivity. But these people coming out of this, we appreciation that they had for their freedom, for one, and what they're allowed to do, what God is allowing them to do. The good hand of the Lord was upon them. And they haven't seen that, experienced that during this year, previous year before. And what that must have meant to them to see this building effort. And then it stopped for about 16 years or so, probably, something like that, a long time. You know, we just go from one chapter to the next, and we think it stopped for maybe just a few weeks or something. No, it stopped for years. And then it started again. And then you can't help but be impressed with Ezra. You don't read of men like this, you know? I mean, it's amazing. He wasn't preparing himself. He had already prepared himself. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I came out with this. He had prepared his heart. So, you know, somebody said a famous quote, one of our past presidents, and a long time ago, was, "I will prepare myself when my time will come." But that's what he had done. He had prepared himself. He was known as a skilled scribe in what he did. And obviously that was appreciated. And he was, I mean, it's amazing what he did. And how he rallied the people and how the good hand of the Lord was upon him and what they were able to accomplish. It's just amazing what we're reading here. We stop to think about the circumstances that they've come out of. It's
a wonderful book. It is. A lot of very good lessons. You don't read men like Ezra, do you? And you don't find men like Ezra today. So hard to find. I want to be like Ezra. I hope you do too. Let's prepare ourselves. I'll be doing that every day. Anything else? Thank you so much.